No, talking about unshakable faith and building upon the faith that the Lord has given us, building a bridge so that we can, our faith will improve, our faith will increase. Because without faith, really, Scripture says it's impossible to believe, please God. And so I gather from that, the more faith we have, the more pleasing we are to the Father. So I want us to be a church that's pleasing to the Father. So last week we talked about God's protection. And why did God protect you? Do you remember why he has protected you all these years? Because you have a purpose. And what is the purpose? To bring people to him and to know him. To know him and to bring people to him. Thank you, Nick. Yeah. So you have a purpose. That's why you are still here. That's why you've not been called home, because God still has a purpose for your life. I know a lot of times when people get older in age and they're not able to do a lot, I've heard many say, I just don't know why God keeps me here. Well, I told you last week. You're still here because God still has a purpose for you. And your purpose is to know him better and help others get to know him. This subject regarding God's protection is a little difficult because there's a lot of people that seem like that aren't protected. I remember, you know, a few weeks ago, there was a pastor friend, an acquaintance more than a friend, Jerry Jeffries, was going up Highway 6 and ran into a log truck and he got killed. And, you know, you think, man, Lord, what's going on there? We don't have all the answers. We don't know why the Lord took Jerry Jeffries home. There is a passage of Scripture in Isaiah, and I should have written it down, that says the Lord brings his righteous home to keep them from the evil to come. So, man, isn't that a wonderful thing? A lot of times we think that death is the most horrible thing, but it could be the most blessed thing. You know, I've seen many people struggle on their deathbed. Watch them die. It's not easy for the body to give up the spirit. There's a struggle. There's a struggle. But for a child of God, it's the most wonderful thing that could happen to them. It's a gift from God. We don't have to live in this world of sin any longer. Hallelujah. We don't have to live with the temptations of Satan any longer. Praise the Lord. We don't have to live with the disease and the torment and the torture and all of the other garbage that goes on in this earth. Somebody said, asked another individual, said, well, are you ready? Are you ready to die? He said, well, not right now. But when the time comes, I hope that we're all at that point. And sometimes we wonder if God's protecting his children. I want to let you know, God protects his children. And he has a purpose for you. And sometimes we wonder, because life happens, right? Life just happens. And sometimes we wonder, what in the world is God up to when life happens? My wife would like to get her garden in, but it's been too cold. It's been too rainy. Life happens. It just happens. And we can get upset about it, or we can just go with the flow. Life happens. Sometimes, have you ever made a poor choice? and it affected you? It's not, you can't blame anybody else. It's my own fault. I made those choices. And because of that, some consequences have come upon me that is just the way it works. If you make poor choices in your life, you're going to get poor results, right? That's not God's doing. That's our doing. The better choices you make, the better results you're going to have. Now, here's, we look throughout the world, and there's a lot of persecution for Christians. A lot of persecution to the point that some Christians have had to lay down their life because they have decided that they're going to follow Christ no matter what the cost. In this country, we don't have that at this time. It may be coming. Who knows? But I pray that if that happens, that I will be strong enough to not deny my Lord Jesus Christ. Persecution comes, and people die because of persecution, and God welcomes them home when they come to Him. One of the things, too, that happens in our life is a loving thing, and you may not think it is, but God talks about His loving discipline. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is loving discipline. We're going to find that passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, and beginning with verse 6. I want you to know that God is loving and kind. He is patient, and He demonstrates His love in many ways. And one of the ways that He demonstrates His love is that He disciplines His children. I was at a youth group one night evening, and I don't know why I asked this question. There was probably about 8 or 10 kids there, youth. And I said, how many of you have ever been whipped by your parents? Boy, they just shut up. Nobody said nothing. Their eyes got about that big. Yeah, exactly. But you know what? In our world today, you got to, because of the laws, if you get whipped, you better not tell nobody. But you know what? I've been disciplined by the Lord. I've been disciplined by my dad, my earthly father, as well as my heavenly father. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning verse 6. It says, "For the Lord disciplines those He loves." Let's stand together for the reading of God's word. Do we have that? It's not working today. Okay. We're getting there. So you can pull out your phone or you can pull out your Bible. And you've got, there's a blue letter Bible. If you don't have that on your phone, that's a really good app, I think is what it's called, app that goes on your phone that you can look through your Bible on. So if you don't have your Bible or don't have your phone, this is what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says. It says, "For the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes each one He accepts as His child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as He does all His children, it means that you're an illegitimate child and you're not really His child at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in His holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but become strong." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we come before You today, and we thank You for Your word to us. And Lord, I want to thank You for the discipline that you bring into our lives to make us more like you, to prove to us that we're your child. Lord, to help us to make right decisions. Father, I pray that today that your word go forth, and Lord, that you would give me the ability to voice the things that you've laid upon my heart that are in this word. I pray, Father, that you'd give the congregation and myself the heart to receive and to walk it out. And we ask things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So God loves us. Therefore, he disciplines us. So what are the purposes for God's discipline? The first one is that it reveals sonship. It reveals sonship. Did you know that God disciplines every child? That's what Scripture says. But he doesn't discipline those who are Satan's child. He only disciplines his children. Have you, as parents, ever wanted to discipline somebody else's children? Oh, buddy. Did you do it? If you did, you are, it's not a best thing to do. Did you discipline your own children? Yeah. Why did you do that? Because you love them. Because you love them. It's not that you don't love the other kids. You just don't have that responsibility. They're not under your care. They could be tearing things up. And now, I have corrected some kids before. Okay? I have corrected them when they're jumping on my couch in my house. And I've corrected them. But I don't remember ever disciplining them. I let their parents do that. And some parents are better than others at disciplining. And Scripture says, if you love your kid, you're going to discipline them to help them to go in the right direction. If you don't love them, just let them do whatever they want to. Let them call the shots. Let them set the boundaries. Let them do whatever they want to. If you don't love them. But if you love them, you have a responsibility as parents, and especially God parents, God focused, God child parents, to be able to discipline your children in the way they should go. So God disciplines his children. Sometimes he disciplines them with just a simple rebuke. There are some tender-hearted kids, and all you have to do is speak a word or look at them, and boy, they melt. And they humble themselves. And they correct themselves. Just because they know that they're displeasing a parent. Man, Lord, help me be that person. But then there are those kids who are obstinate, who are hard-headed, who are hard-hearted, who are strong-willed, and it takes more effort for those children than it does for those who are led by just a word or a look. God knows his children. And here's what I love about God, that no matter what it takes, he's going to get your attention. Okay? He knows your heart. And no matter what it takes, he will get your attention. This is a loving thing. This is a protecting thing, because he protects you by helping you get going in the right direction so you don't wind up in a place you don't want to be. And in a place he doesn't want you to be. So this is a protecting thing. This discipline is a protection. Now you can say, I'm not going to go that direction. And you're not no longer under his protection, right? So if you're a disobedient kid, watch out, because it can you can wind up in a bad place. You remember Jonah? He was a kid. He was a child of God, but he didn't want to obey what God said, and so he went his own direction, and God said, I don't think so. He brought him back. Had to be swallowed by a whale and then be in the belly of a whale 3 days. You know, I've been in some bad places before, but I haven't been there. I think that would get my attention. He knew what it would take to get Jonah's attention, and he knows what it takes to get your attention. He knows your heart. And you can rebel and you can go against him all you want to, but God's going to have his way in your life if you're his child. However, if you're not his kid, you just do whatever you want to, and he will never say a word to you. So one of the things we get from this is that if you just go your own way, do your own thing, be disobedient to the Lord, and he never corrects you, he never disciplines you, he never helps you get back on the straight and narrow, you're probably not his kid. Probably not his kid. Just a thought. A second thing that happens, this discipline, God's discipline, it compels us to sanctification. In verse 10, it says, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. Scripture says that we're to be holy as he is holy. And if you are a child of God, you have the DNA of Jesus Christ. His blood runs through your veins. When you became a child of God, there was something that connected in you that says, you know what? I don't want to go this direction anymore that I've been going. All I've been doing is trying to please myself. Now, I want to please God, and I want to do things that are honorable to him, things that please him, things that he loves. I want to do those things because I love him. There's something in the heart that changes when you meet Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, we don't always do those things, or at least I don't. But God's discipline helps me get back on track when I'm not being holy. He uses other people to speak into my life. He uses the Word of God to speak into my life. He compels sanctification. Do you want your kids to do things that embarrass you? If your child is doing something that embarrasses you, what are you going to do? You're going to correct them. Kid, we need to talk. I heard a story of a individual. Actually, his name's Elmer. He was an evangelist. He had a godly father. And this evangelist told the story long after he grew up. You know, I mean, he was telling this story as he was a child. Says his mother was in the kitchen, and his boy, who later grew up to be a mighty evangelist, named Elmer, asked his mom. And you know, in the Smith household, that was not something that my children would do. Not often, anyway. They would not get away with it. And this boy asked his mom, and his dad said, Elmer, Let's go outside. We took Elmer outside. He said, Elmer, I heard you sass your mom. That's your mother. She went down to the valley of the shadow of death to bring you into this world. I have watched her when you were little, nurse you when you were sick, watch over you, spend sleepless nights cooling a fevered brow. I've watched her change your dirty diapers. I've watched you watched her carry you around. I've watched her do without things that you might have. I've watched her cook your meals and clothed you and ironed for you and tuck you in and kiss you and love you, and you sassed your mom. You sinned against your mother. But he said, Elmer, not only did you sin against your mom, you sinned against Almighty God. For God said, honor your father and your mother. God saw you do that. God heard what you said. Elmer said, I need you. By this time, he said, I was feeling about this high. I didn't realize all I had done when I sassed my mom. So his dad said to Elmer, God is merciful. Let's ask him to forgive you. I'm going to get down here on my knees and I'm going to pray for you, son. Then Elmer, would you cry out to God? Would you ask God to have mercy on you for sassing your mom? He said, yes, I will. He said, my dad prayed for me and I got on my knees and I said, oh God, forgive me for what I've done. And his dad said, now, Elmer, let's go back to the kitchen. I want you to ask your darling mother to forgive you for what you've done. So he went to the kitchen, and with tears, he said, Mama, I am so sorry. I sassed you, Mama. I am so sorry. Mama, will you forgive me? And she said, darling, I forgive you. She took him up in her arms and hugged him, kissed him. His daddy said, that's great, son. I'm so happy for you. Then Elmer said, my dad hugged me, kissed me, and then he said, he took me upstairs and beat the daylights out of me. He said, I never sassed my mom again, he said. God is a loving God, but he's going to discipline his children because he wants them to do the right thing. He wants them to be holy. He wants them to walk in the right path. And did you know that God is more interested in you being holy than he is in you being healthy? And he is more interested in you being holy than he is interested in you being wealthy. He's more interested in you being holy than he is in you being happy. That's what he's more interested in. Someone one has said, marriage is not first and foremost to make you happy. It's first and foremost to make you holy. Let me say that again. Marriage is not first and foremost to make you happy. It's first and foremost to make you holy. And when we have difficulties in marriage, it's not a license for us to dissolve the marriage. It's a license for us to get on our knees and find out what God is wanting to do in my heart. My wife has shown me more selfishness in my heart than anyone else. I don't like it. But the Lord has used her to help me see things in my life that I would never have seen otherwise. And so the Lord has allowed her to pinpoint things. Now, I don't like it. And sometimes I might have to throw a little hissy fit. But then I have to retract and say, you know, I'm sorry. You're right. Again. Thank you very much for pointing that out. God is interested in our holiness. He's interested in the way we walk. He's interested. Did you know that people are looking at you? I don't want to embarrass my dad by my lifestyle. I don't want to embarrass my dad by my words. I don't want to embarrass him. And I know I have at times. And there have been times that he has had to discipline me for those things. I've had to go back to people and apologize for things that I've done that have hurt them. I remember, we'll just say on a Tuesday, of course, this is years ago. We'll just say it was a Tuesday. I spoke to somebody incorrectly. Preparing my message to preach on Sunday, and I had to call them Saturday night to get it right before I could preach on Sunday. Man, I hated that. But you know what? God loves his children. And he's going to discipline his children because he loves them. God's discipline, the third thing is God's discipline cleanses us from sin. Verse 11, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but become strong. We are children of light living in a darkened world. And when we as children of the light like to live as the world lives, God will do whatever is necessary to help us behave so that we don't mar his name. Whatever is necessary. Whatever is necessary. Whatever is necessary. Did you know that there are some people who have died prematurely because of their disobedience to the Lord? You remember Moses? He was supposed to have gone into the promised land. Supposed to have gone into Canaan, a land that God had promised him, and because of his disobedience to the Lord said, you're not going to be able to go in. I'm going to take you home to be with me. I remember the story of a young prophet who went to tell the king that what he was doing was incorrect. The king stretched out his arm and told his servants, grab this guy. When he did, his arm shriveled up. He said, pray for me. The young prophet prayed for him and his arm became whole again. As he was going back home, someone said, I want you to come have dinner with me. He said, nope, can't do it. I've got to go a different way. God told me to go a different way. Don't go the same way. Don't stop and have dinner with anybody. He said, well, God told me. You can come have dinner with me. Okay. Well, I'll go have dinner with you. On the way home, a lion jumped on the back of his donkey and killed the young prophet. That's kind of scary. It's kind of scary to me. God loves you. And if you continue doing wrong, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you may remember the story. The church in Corinth was kind of strange, kind of weird. Matter of fact, the Corinthian church, if you've studied any about Corinth, it was a very wicked place. Anything goes in Corinth. And a lot of the practices of Corinth was brought into the church. And so Paul was kind of trying to correct the Corinthian church. In one instance, in chapter 5, we find that young man was living with his dad's mom. It's like, I'm sorry, he's living with his dad's wife. Paul said, guys, this isn't something to joke about. It's something to correct. This is what he says. I think it's in verse 5. He says, I want you to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his soul will be saved in the end. Let him die so his soul will be saved. Well, they put him out of the church, but apparently in by 2 Corinthians, when he writes the next letter, that the fellow has repented. And they've allowed him to come back into the church. God loves you. And he will discipline you because he loves you. There was a young boy, we'll call him Jimmy, who was invited to a birthday party, invited to Susie's birthday party, and so his mom takes him over to Susie's house, and before she gets there, she says, Jimmy, when you're at this party, I want you to behave. I don't want you to do anything to embarrass me. I want you to obey. I'm going to tell Susie's mom that if you start acting out, to give me a call. And when she does, I'm going to come over. I'm going to get you, and I'm going to take you home. And you will not be able to finish participating in the party. Well, and little Jimmy gets there. And as soon as he does, he pokes his finger in the cake. He goes over to the presents and he starts ripping presents open. So Susie's mom calls. Says, you're going to have to come get Jimmy. He's misbehaving. And so Jimmy's mom comes. Finds Jimmy. He's got cake all over his hand. Puts him in the car. Says, Jimmy, you're not going to be able to participate in the party. You're going to have to come home early. You know what? God will do that. God will do that. If we do not yield to his discipline, if we do not surrender to his will, God will do that. Why would he do that? Doesn't he love me? Yes, he loves you, and that's why he would take you home. That's why he would not allow you to continue in sinful behavior and get caught in a trap that's going to destroy your life and the lives of others. Pastor, do you really believe that? I believe that with all my heart. I shared a couple of weeks ago my dad's prayer for me whenever he thought I was going to die at 9 months old. My dad prayed, Lord, if you can use Bradford for your glory, I pray that you would let him live. But if he's going to bring a bad reputation to your name, I pray that you would take him home now. And God, let me live. Woo-hoo-hoo! I'm happy. This morning, you may be walking in disobedience. And you know you're walking in disobedience, and the Lord is correcting you. He's spoken to you. He's disciplined you. He's corrected you. And you have an opportunity today to get your heart right with the Lord. Some may be here today and have never met Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. God loves you. And you have been just tearing things up, doing whatever you wanted to do, and nobody's ever corrected you. God is saying, come home. I will be your father, and I will teach you the right way to go. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come before you today. Lord, this was not an easy message to preach. But God, I think we needed to hear it. We needed to be reminded of it. And some perhaps here today needed to hear it because of the direction they're going. Lord, I'm so grateful that you discipline me. I'm so grateful that you bring me into a place where I can begin to make adjustments in my life so you will be honored and glorified. Lord, you said in your word that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And I'm afraid that many individuals have no fear of you. And Lord, we see it throughout our nation, where there are people who disregard you, disregard your word. And they have it in their own minds that they will be their own God rather than submitting to you. Lord, my heart goes out to them. Because of the destiny that they're going to wind up. And so, Father, I just ask that you would move in our nation, move in our church, move in our hearts, bring revival, bring a harvest, we pray. God, let our hearts be joined to you and submitting to you in every area of our lives. Father, I pray that today, if there's anyone that has been walking away from you, been doing things that have been in disobedience to you, Lord, that you would correct them today. And Lord, that they would once again come under your umbrella of protection. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would respond to you. And Lord, these things we pray in the Jesus' holy and wonderful and marvelous name. Amen. Let's stand together, and I want you to take out your communion cup if you have that. If you'd not, lift your hand, and we'll make sure you get that. There's two little lids. One is the cellophane, and if you're really careful, you can peel that off and take the wafer out. The passage of Scripture in 1 Peter 4:1 says, so then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. Jesus was beaten. Jesus bled, and Jesus died so that we might live. And he said, this is my body, as he was meeting with the disciples. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And he blessed it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray your blessings upon this bread that we hold in our hands. And Lord, that you would apply your broken body to our lives. Lord, that we would realize and recognize what you've done for us in order to be able to live for you in a more holy manner. Lord, you tell us in your word that we need to search our heart and search our soul so that we don't take of this unworthily. But God, that we would be able to address the issues in our heart that will hinder us from our relationship with you. And so, Father, I pray that you would search us now. Forgive us where we failed. Thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name. Scripture says that he took the cup. And in doing so, he held it up to his disciples. And he said, this is the new covenant. This blood is the new covenant that I'm making with you. This blood takes away our sin. This blood makes you right with the Father. And so, Lord, again, we come before you and we thank you for your shed blood. And everything that involves in regards to our washing and our cleansing and our holiness and our rightness with you. So, Father, as we partake of this fruit of the vine, I pray, Father, that you would help us to walk in a way that's pleasing and honorable to you. In Jesus' name I pray. I'm going to ask our worship team to come forward. There may be some decisions that you need to make between you and the Lord. I'm going to invite you to come and kneel and pray, or you come talk to me and I will pray with you. Maybe the Lord is dealing with you about specific things. You hear his voice. Would you respond to him today?